Okay, so let's have a little check-in after the meditation, late morning. Anything anyone wants to share?
I would like to share. This is Kathy. I felt really good. I felt I was in my Merkaba, and I visited what I would call my sister star planet between what I discovered, the moon and Venus, somewhere in the middle there. And then physically, the energy in my body changed. It was really abrupt. And that's when we paused. And reflecting on that, I was in a space of the owl was giving me information, and it was in my atlas and my axis, the two top vertebrae. They were resonant as the information that the owl was with me with that. I feel like if you could draw a line between my ears, two triangles, one facing up and one facing down, and it's very dimensional. When the energy became abrupt, I feel a little off in that space, like between my atlas and my axis, and it's not really. I don't have a headache. I don't have a stiff neck. All I can say is that, and I don't even want to use the word stuck, but I it almost feels like there was a shifting happening that didn't fully happen.
Yes. Okay. Yeah,
Okay.
we're in process. And there's maybe you've noticed, everyone, there'll be a tendency to try to normalize back to your old self. And you don't want to do that. That's why retreats need some space and seclusion from outside influences as much as possible. Because you do not want to normalize to your old self. And the tendency will be to do that. You'll start looking for safety, a safe place to land, and the only place you know is the old place. And really, we're heading for new places. So, watch that tendency. And stay with kind of the betwixt and between feeling. Okay. How about someone else?
Sarah, this is Lisa. The meditation was very beautiful. It was very deep, and honestly, I really didn't have all my faculties about me once we got off the phone. So I was a bit tired. I lied down. I think I probably fell asleep for a half hour, and I started reading about ascended masters, and I put some crystal bowl music on, and that was it.
Okay, good. Anyone else?
Yes, Sarah, this is Tracy. I had a pretty good experience. In the beginning, it was really kind of tough to get the energy moving. And I tried to unblock whatever it was that wasn't flowing. And that's actually when you stopped everybody. So once we got back on board, it was quite remarkable. Mother Earth came up from the earth wearing this beautiful robe and merged with the owl, energy. So the top of her was the owl with the wings coming around me, which was quite beautiful. They both took me deep within the earth underground, almost kind of like tunneling a path, and kind of just clearing out some stagnant energy. And afterwards, after we came out of it, I really didn't want to come out of it. So I did sit in it for a while. And it did take me a while to kind of come back. but it was quite beautiful. So after I ate my lunch, I just went outside and spent some time with Mother Nature and watered my plants and took care of everything that was out in my yard. So it was very nice.
Beautiful. Maybe we can make an illustration of that, Tracy.
Yeah. We'll see if I can do that.
We can.
It was quite unique. I mean, I actually asked, I said, is this normal for it? Because it just felt different, because it was a merging of a grounded earth with the owl that is way soaring up into the air, into the ethers. And it was just such a unique merging that I kind of questioned, is this right? And I just went with it and just had a unique experience.
Well, I'm glad you went with it, because what we have as a reference point for Earth isn't who Earth is. Mm-hmm. You know, Earth is just as much of a light being as owl is. Okay. And mm-hmm. you saw that in Mother Earth and Owl coming together. And mm-hmm. remember I said, I don't know if you heard this, but I said, we're going beyond time. We're going into the timeless, right? And that's where the merging of those beings took us. So the Earth,
got it.
So mm-hmm. the Earth, this is for everyone, the Earth is not just a clunky rock. It's just not. It's pure love, this planet. It's just pure love. And the essence of who she is being totally missed by most people on the planet.
Okay. Yeah, she's very soft and very beautiful mm-hmm. through most of my experiences, very nurturing.
Mm-hmm. So the image we have of Earth is the one that's part of the conditioned, programmed mind, and it's not mm-hmm. who she really is. And when I went out on the deck again after lunch, the owls were hooting around. They were having a hootenanny out there again. they were beautifully here. So, okay. Anyone else?
Sarah, this is Kate. I didn't move. I haven't moved. I put on the meditation. Jeff brought me a bowl of papaya, and I slept and just listened to yesterday morning. I started out with the afternoon one, and I thought, no, let's go back to that first one. And so now I'm here with all of you again. And by the way, we don't hardly ever have smoke at the coast.
Ah.
Just so you know.
Okay. Oh, it blows off. Right. Right.
It must go more inland. Yeah. Uh-huh. So we're 100 miles apart, Trish and I, but there's no smoke here.
Okay. So it goes inland towards Georgia. Who's not in Georgia? She's in Sacramento.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
But actually, isn't very far from me. It's we have friends that there were 30 houses on a road, and 23 of them are gone.
Oh,
just about 20 miles west of me.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that's tough right now to go through.
Yeah.
Okay. How about anyone else?
And I wanted to say just one more thing on that, Sarah. I put on the page last night about the relationship I'm working with my neighbor, and I have to say, and even just speaking those words just now, my whole body just broke out into, you know, full God bumps. I'm wondering if I'm deeply working with that energy or what's up. I feel it so strong right now. I didn't go to that retreat space. I'm literally feeling, I'm feeling impacted a lot by that, whatever that dynamic is. And I don't know if I should move myself or, you know, I have somewhere else I could go.
So you're still involved with the battle with him in your mind?
Yes, it's not just in my mind. It's actual physical. What's happening? It's pretty invasive.
So
it's only like, you know, 20 feet away. Maybe 20 yards away, but you and I have worked on this.
Right, but is he creating lots of noise right now, or are you emotionally involved?
I don't hear anything. It's only emotional. I have on noise canceling headphones. I can't hear anything outside of you guys.
Okay.
But somehow or another, my being is living in that hell.
So that's what I mean. You're still in battle mode.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, I guess so. Well, I wasn't, but I am today.
Okay. So, well, let's see how it progresses. I've noticed, I mean, everyone has some kind of anger or kind of difficulty that's hanging on. Is that true? I mean, everyone's got something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yesterday we did some clearing of that. And that's kind of the material that feeds the machine here as we move on. Mm-hmm. Like some of it gets fed to the nature spirits and some to Mother Earth. And we just need to patiently allow it to transform and not hold us back here. That's why we do go through a cleansing for a retreat. And, you know, I like to do 5-day retreats because it gives us lots of good time to cleanse. But this is kind of on an accelerated path. So let's just see how it happens. So, Kate, you're not alone. And everyone's got something. And everyone's probably triggered with something. So it's not only you have something, there's probably something triggered. And we'll proceed and see how the stuff moves through. A lot of it is holding on because of the old consciousness, the uncleansed consciousness. And so as we proceed here, we'll see how things transform. But I see that everyone has something. and that's perfectly fine. I mean, unless you'd been on retreat for a month, you wouldn't have everything cleared out. So that's because we're human beings. Okay? So everyone can relax about whatever it is that they're triggered about. And remember I said it's all part of the retreat. And we'll see how this processes. Okay? Is that okay with everyone?
I got a question on that.
Yes.
If I had the choice to move, would moving be advantageous or would it not matter?
Well, that's up to you.
Okay.
You're concerned that it's disturbing the whole group?
I think if it's disturbing me, it's possibly disturbing the group.
Okay. So if you moved, would you feel better?
I won't do it right now. It would be, you know, later on, but I'm not sure. I think I tend toward staying in a difficulty to let it flush as opposed to moving, but that's actually kind of a question I have in general and in life. You know, we're moving into a paradigm, as I've heard you teaching us, of we don't have to go through the hard door and we can go through the light door. And so this brings that dynamic. Do I stay in the soup and request the light beings to help this? This feels like something's trying to move, and that's why I can feel it. Because nothing's happened. And so maybe staying here in the soup just fortifies me and asks for the help, and the help arrives. I'm not sure.
Okay, so you don't have to stay. Wherever you go, that's going to follow you in your own being.
Yeah. Well, I'm more comfortable here, so okay. I'm changed. I've got my cocoon. I'm here.
Let's just put it that way.
All right.
Because we're carrying it. Yeah, you know, we carry each of our things with us.
Yeah.
But we're not expected to be perfect or without stuff, quote, and that's okay. Okay? I liked how you put it on the page because you were wondering how much you were contributing to it, you know? And so...
which way?
In terms of wondering if you were the grumpy person, as you put it.
To us, or our group. It was really interesting how it happened because you kept calling us out and I heard you. And I'm like, well, I don't feel tired or grumpy, so I think I'm okay. And suddenly I get this impulse to go outside to my tree, which is quite close to, you know, this situation. And as I was lying there, I got the vision. I finally heard you. The vultures came, began eating the heavy energy. And as soon as I did that, you said, ah, there we go. And I was like,
Oh, what it was eating the heavy energy for everyone at that point. So it wasn't just you.
Okay. Aha. Now I understand. So maybe I wasn't grumpy.
Well, you are grumpy with your neighbor inside your own self.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So
I'm not sure what to do. He's now moved it to where he's looking into my yard all the time. And I have, it's like my safe space. It's feeling pretty bad to me.
So you'll just have to keep clearing and clearing until you see a path of action.
And the vulture just crossed past my window.
Okay.
Literally.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, it's almost as though it isn't him at all. It's the collective unconsciousness that I'm working with as me as an individual, and yet feeling our collective connectedness and what's happening on Earth. And it feels very much like it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the bigger picture. And maybe there's a bit of both, but certainly the bigger consciousness is what I'm feeling is so heavy.
Well, you'll just see how it processes.
Okay.
Anyone else?
This is Andrea. I've had this situation with my husband for a long time, and every time I hit this impasse, there's just like, you know, I give up, you know, just let it go. It'll go over away again, you know, until it comes back again. So he took off to Kelly's Islands with his friends, and I got the house to myself, which I always wanted. So now it's like, oh my God, everything's like in my face, you know, I got the house to myself. So the best part is I'm not alone. I have the support of obviously a great retreat going on, but and then while I was like resting, my counselor just happened to call and change our appointment and look for a time that's earlier rather than later. So I thought, oh, well, thank you. That worked. And it's just, it's a good thing. I haven't been here before, so.
It's okay. So everyone practice your grounded listening so that Andrea has space. Oh, who is the 1-899?
That's Sally.
Oh yeah. Did you just have motorcycles go by?
I did.
Yeah, we can hear all that.
Oh, then I can mute.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to do another clearing and cleansing with the help of our friends. Bee Spirit has entered in as well. Okay, I wonder what all that loud noise is. So why don't we mute? Okay, everyone try to talk and I'll know if you're muted. Okay, good. Okay, so this is not unusual in a retreat that, and this is why I keep it real. We have to span very large ranges of consciousness at this time on the earth. And the heavy world, the world of the heavy energies, it takes a toll on everyone. It takes a toll on our health and on our clarity and on our peace. And even though we know and can sense a more perfect world, we're not there yet. And if we can find some kind of alignment and harmony within ourselves, that is a huge accomplishment. So the heavy world, let's now just call the world of illusion the heavy world. And the world that we're working with is the light world. And it is, it's heavy and dark. And so when you live with a sense of this beauty of being, and you also live in the heavy world, I think I'm creating a Netflix series here, then it's kind of rough on your sensitive soul, on our sensitive souls. And this is where learning how to sit in the greater love, finding the self-love from our personal being and our intimate relationship with self is. And it's interesting that the bee spirit came in working with owl spirit, not instead, during our break. And it's even interesting because for some reason there's on my window, there's like a fogged section of the window from dew that has not left all morning. And it looks, it's in the shape of a bee with two little antennas sticking out. So she's probably been there all day. And in when we go on retreat, we really are making significant shifts in our consciousness. And we don't always feel them immediately. So I want to remind you of that. And I want to remind you that I've sat through 5, 7, 10-day retreats that were just torture, but had long-term beneficial effects for my consciousness. So again, everything that we expect about a retreat, it's all expectations and not reality. So yes, we are dealing with digging up some of this old stuff, especially when Ancient Mother comes in and old streams of consciousness are cleared, and we're in process with that. So be a little gentle with yourself. Let's do an MBO. We have time for that. We want to encourage that. We're not trying to rush through anything to get anywhere. And again, if you're experiencing lots of energy at the head, remember it's a full continuum, and allow the energy to flow and expand into a sphere. And then I want to remind you that anything that's in your mind and emotions and body right now is old. We're opening up to new. So don't try to interpret. Don't try to make a story. Don't hang on to old identities of being ill or old identities of being the best athlete or the smartest this or whatever. We're just trying to open up to new, fresh energy and new, fresh being that's available to us. So every time you notice your thoughts, you can say to yourself, oh, I am just rehashing old stuff. Every single thought that comes up is an old thought, and I don't need that right now. Every situation, emotional situation, relational situation that comes up, oh, that's all old. I'm open to new now. And anything that comes up physically, that's old, and I want to open to new now. And we're going to let those thought forms crystallize energy forms of who we are, who we've been, who we think of ourselves are as to dissolve and fracture. And that's part of that relieving the burden of self. And moving from the changing to the changeless. There we go. Again, don't forget the base, don't forget the foundation. You can open up the crown and higher energies without leaving the base. And we greet Mother Earth, Spirit of the land where you are, the Spirit of your body, the Spirit of the fluids in your body, the Spirit of the fire in your body, the Spirit of the air in your body, and the Spirit of the ether in your body. And when there's kind of a stale, bored sense, you know that you're in those old thought forms. Like you're just tired of this interaction going on for years, or tired of your own behavior that goes on for years. It's just got this stale, old smell to it. Want to open up like a flower opening up to the sun. And we call in owl spirit and bee spirit. Your tree spirit is your helping spirit. And any of the energies that are higher frequency that you relate to, that will help open the space for you. Let's stay in a place of emptiness, empty of thoughts, empty of feelings, empty of sensation. But you may feel the energy, that's fine. Still a lot of stinking thinking going on. Feel your feet and seat and the energy connecting to you, to Mother Earth. we're shifting into the deeper realm now. Again, staying with fewer thoughts, fewer feelings, allowing space, allowing silence. You may sense yourself falling asleep or ascending your body consciousness. You can go with it. Your guides are owl and bee. Ha! Oh, I'm sorry. A whole big bird just banged against my window. I apologize. That may have been our hawk. Which would be very unusual, but it was that big, or it could have been owl. It's very large. There you can feel the heaviness peeling away and the lightness of your being ascending. So we are joining. For those of you that are journeying, go ahead. You don't have to listen. We are journeying and arriving at the Palace of the Ascended Masters, the Etheric Palace. This is where we meet an aspect of our being that is our inner teacher. And I'll leave you to each have your own experience with your ascended master, which is a version of your consciousness in a way. So depending on where you are, we'll take a 15-minute break here. We'll come back at 4:15 and you can stay in the meditation or take your break, but we'll come back at 4:15. Hello.
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 Hello. Shh. Not so hard. Not so hard. Quiet, delicate.
Hello.
No, okay. I want you to stay grounded. There's people are in a very delicate state, so quiet. Okay, we're missing one person. Okay. Oh, Ken. Okay, Ken. Okay, we're all here. So let's have a sharing around that last meditation. That was a long time, and I wondered how you did with it.
This is Cindy. It was a very beautiful, calm meditation. And I just want to share a little piece of magic that happened during it. And that was, you know, every once in a while, lyrics will pop in. And it was a very obscure lyric that popped in. It was from a song from 1967 by Spanky and her gang called Lazy Day. And the line that popped in was, "Baby, you and me," and then it repeats, "Baby, you and me, and the honeybee, neath a shady tree." So the owl, me, the honeybee, and the tree were all in that lyric. I just think that is so sweet.
It
and
is.
I just wanted to share it.
Thank you. Was that too long for people? Did you drop out, or were you able to maintain that?
I was in and out during the meditation, but I was very comfortable, and I needed my Be Cozy, which won't come until Thursday.
Oh, okay.
I had Bob a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Go ahead, Ron. You were next.
No, it was both for me as well. I really felt that I let go of a lot of stuff. I had no idea how long. How long was it?
About an hour.
Huh. Yeah. No idea of time.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. And someone else was going to speak.
That's me, Georgia. I thought I wasn't going to be able to relax. And then all of a sudden, maybe 30 seconds before you spoke, I came to. So clearly I was able to.
Oh, okay.
Like I just disappeared and I couldn't believe it was that long.
Ah, okay. Good. Okay. That was quite a meditation.
I didn't realize it was that long either. I came back about a minute before you said to take a break. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? I can't meditate for 10 minutes anymore.
That was an hour.
Yeah, it did not seem that long.
No, it didn't.
Oh, good. Okay. Did it seem too long for anyone?
No.
Good for us.
Teeny bit for me. Oh, well, I'm the odd one. What's the black sheep of the... Yeah.
Oh, come on. That's the shit we're letting go of.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you say it without that?
Okay. Reverse this, yeah. It was a little long for me. I noticed, I just remembered you saying that, you know, if you're just kind of hanging out or whatever, just go towards sleep. So I just, there wasn't anything uncomfortable about it. It was very peaceful and very clear, but it was like, I was thinking about the child, the adolescent or the adult. It was definitely like the child just feeling impatient.
Uh-huh.
And, I stayed grounded and seated and just, I feel so much clearer though. Like, yeah, that's all I know.
Okay, so we know what program you need to let go of, the black sheep one. Okay.
So this is Sally.
Mm-hmm.
I came into this session with the goal of not trying so hard, just because this morning was kind of rough for me. And so I was... I came in and out, and I would be able to go a distance, but the issue of the day, I have so many more muscles now, but it was not, you know, I was struggling. I kept being pulled back, and during the break, I just stayed sitting, and I just feel like all around my heart chakra, there is just something trying to untangle, and I kept on. Instead of going back into the story, I kept trying to make a new set of words. You know, I'm open to the new and the changeless. I'm moving into the new and the changeless. I kept on trying to. And then I would say, you know, in this particular instance, you know, letting go of something that I love. I love you, but I'm going to let you go. And I kept on going back and forth between the two. So I'm just allowing myself to work through without worrying. Like, Rana, I'm just going to fall behind. That's how I feel. I don't know. And that's ridiculous. And I know that, too. So I'm kind of struggling. I don't feel like it was too long meditation, though. It's just hard work today. So.
Okay. So you're moving through the mountain today. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. How about anyone else?
I'm feeling refreshed. Wow. A whole hour? Wow. I needed that.
Okay.
This is Kathy, and I was so happy that the bee came in because of what I was experiencing before lunch break. I was reminded of the buzzing bee practice. It's a yogic breath practice, and I needed to focus on just the vibration of, I almost felt like the bee brought in a tuning fork to just, you know, the throwing the pebble into the pond and allowing the work of just the vibrational energies to cleanse and clear without holding and allowing the way just to open. So I'm very appreciative of the bee. And it always amazes me how animals and spirits and all the elements come in to just let us know they have our backs, that they're with us to grow no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so much better. And I came to a point that my axis and my tailbone were resonating with each other, communicating, which was really cool. The vibrancy and beauty of, again, just being in a lot, surrendering into just being.
Excellent. Okay.
Hi, this is Sean. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I was having a good time in the, you know, in the Ascended Master palace there, and having a nice conversation with my higher self. And then something happened where I got, either they took me to some childhood stuff that I forgot, or I got bounced out of the palace and went to some childhood stuff that I forgot, but it was kind of disturbing. And I figure, Sarah, I might email it you about it instead of talking about it out loud, but it was pretty shocking.
Okay. Yes. This can unlock things on every plane, different memories from every dimension.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you okay now?
Yeah, I'm feeling better now that the people are back on and talking, but the length was a little much for me because it happened during, I think, the middle there. So yeah, I am feeling better.
Okay.
And I know that we can get through it, you know, whatever it is.
Okay. This is, you know, when we get bounced, well, you weren't bounced out, you were taken specifically to unlock this.
Okay.
And these, let's see, all this resistance that we feel and act out in the world can be at a very unconscious level. And when we go and allow ourselves to go into meditation, a lot of people won't even touch it, you know? It's too scary. Remember that there was a first time when you sat down with yourself and you heard your thoughts and like said, who wants to do this? And so that's why I'm happy that meditation disciplines are integrating with therapeutic disciplines and psychological disciplines, medical, because it all comes together at some point where there may be things holding you back that you're not conscious of, and you can get support in different directions. And we need to be able to fluidly move between support systems at any given time, depending on what's coming up for us. So it can come up in a meditation, or it can come up later in your life where a situation comes up, Andrea, where where the result of the work we've been doing, something comes up, and we're, you know, that old naive idea of oh, I'm going to sit down and meditate, or I'm going to go through a transformational experience, and then being shocked when you actually transform.
What do you know? It works. Oh boy.
So all of this happens, and we do need to access. Sean, like you might need to access someone like yourself, who's a therapist, an enlightened therapist, or like Becky. So depending on what comes up, you know, each discipline, let's say, has the ability to deal with things. But we do need that. We do need it. You can't take care of a lifetime of anger just with meditation. You can't take care of a lifetime of abuse or early abuse just with meditation. And so I'm thrilled that all these integrative therapies are really emerging now and they're accessible. And we have to realize that. We have to realize that meditation's not the end all, that we should work on our stuff in the ways we need to work on it. But I'm thrilled with the entire group because you guys really held the focus, and you were held in the focus. You allowed yourself to be held in the focus, because that's really what happens. We get taken into these deeper states. We cannot knock on the door and say, "Let me in." We get drawn in by the higher beings and the higher frequencies. And everyone did a great job of staying with it. I didn't want to end it for myself, but I kind of got the sense, okay, and we'll have more of this. But I just thought, okay, let's take our break and see what each one needs. Okay. Now, you know, in the old days, that none of this stuff would be addressed. You know, you'd sit there and deal with your stuff yourself and then not know what to do with it. So what else came up for people? Or how'd you do?
This is Ananda.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of went into it. I was trying to mull over if I'm seeing something, if that's, you know, third eye.
Oh, did you see something?
It's all on tape. Well,
tell him. Sorry, Anna. Well,
I kept saying this is. I'm sure this is my imagination. The previous meditation actually had this lovely interaction with the ancient one. And then then we had our break, and then we moved into this one. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure I imagined all of that. And it was such a lovely interaction. Because when I saw her, she didn't look anything remotely human. She looked more maybe like a tree. More like a tree, the big rack of sort of antler branches.
and she had the owl sitting on her shoulder, and she kind of scooped me up, and I became this baby, because I remember I was sucking my thumb.
How'd that feel?
Well, it felt pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
I got to be cradled and held.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she put me down, she sort of nudged me forward, and I realized I had become an emanation of her. So then I had this sense of kind of authority or confidence that seemed very real, and I could sort of, I looked sort of Mesopotamian, actually. And then we had our break, and when we did this meditation, it was okay. So I kind of went back to I'm an emanation of her. And when I got up to the steps of the temple, and I was kind of playing with it, so I could see I had my staff, and the bee was actually a kind of a necklace ornament, this big, huge, metallic bee on my chest. And then I thought, wait a minute, I'm just projecting this because I don't feel it. So I just sort of like dropped it. I'm like, this is not real. This is my third eye going, you know, making a little movie or something. And so I just dropped it because I couldn't, and I went back into grounding, okay, feeling my feet. And I thought, okay, maybe this is how you tell the difference if you're imagining something or not. Can you embody it? And then, yeah, and then I just felt like kind of restless for the rest of the meditation.
Okay, so yes, you are in a visionary state. And I would say that rather than dropping out of, let's just say, I don't think you were in your imagination, Ananda. I think you were truly in a visionary state. But let's just say you question that. And how should you proceed? And I would tell you to proceed with the imaginative state to see if it does go deeper or take you over into that state of being an emanation. So I wouldn't stop it. Okay? So in the future, let yourself keep going with that. Don't try to test it by dropping out of it. Test it by going through with it.
Is there a way to discern if you're, or does it even matter if it's imagination or?
Not really. But if you're, I would say to stay with it, because sometimes it'll morph into something deeper. Let's just say the imagination can be a visionary state in its more superficial form, like where still the mind might be involved. And then if you stay with it, you drop into the even deeper state of it, like you did with the tree. Okay? So
okay.
Stay with it. Don't drop out of it. Don't cut it short. Let it keep going and see where it goes. If it's just pure imagination and it doesn't go anywhere else, that's fine. And if it wants to lead you deeper, it will. But I'm thrilled that you had that experience. Because remember what I said about the confidence that you get from being connected to Mother Earth?
Yes, there's a real sense of surety.
Mm-hmm.
A kind of repose that is no self-doubt or waffling or maybe, or it's just a deep sense of confidence and authority.
Mm-hmm. That comes from being held in that love. You got it. You had the experience, the deep experience.
So great to hear.
Mm-hmm.
This is Trish.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the first one, I had a real quick vision of a cave, and then I was just vibrating like crazy. So when you broke for the break, I stayed with the vibration for maybe half an hour more, and it felt good. It wasn't a bad vibration. It was just a vibration. Not a lot of visual, more vibratory, and then like a bee. And then my heart was kind of aching me in the process. So I thought, well, I wonder if I'm in a part of my heart. And then in this meditation, I experienced a similar vibration. And I went in the mountain, and twice throughout this time, I don't know, didn't take notes. I went in the cave of the mountain and saw like purple, and it was sort of like set up like a house. And at the end of the cave was sort of what looks like I Dream a Genie with black hair. And she was playing with a border collie, and the dog was bouncing back and forth between the two of us. And then I thought, well, this is odd. And then it kind of went back to vibratory, and then you spoke. And then when you speak, that vibe gets really amped up, like I'm trembling. It goes from buzzing to trembling. And then I come more to, so what I question is, and kind of understand the I Dream a Genie girl, but is the vibratory part of it. Can you speak to the vibratory part?
Okay, I'm just going to be quiet for a moment to pull that together. So in the state we were in, it was actually a very deep healing state. And your experience of the vibrations is an equivalent experience of, let's say, the light, but it's more on the sound level instead of light level. So you were experiencing like the cymatics of it.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah.
And it seems to have had a very powerful effect on your cellular structure, actually. Boy, I'm having a big deja vu right now with you. So.
I kind of think you were there with me.
So I think a lot of stuff got shook loose in you in a good way.
But I still have a little bit of the bee going on, still have a little bit of the buzz going on. So you just stay with the buzz and realize that that's how the light's affecting your body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of live with that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's part of the flow. But it's more on the sound frequencies than the light frequencies.
Yeah, there's been a lot of high-pitched sounds happening and stuff, too.
Okay.
And I just assume that I Dream a Genie girl is a guide of mine from somewhere. It's all I take it as. You don't take it as I'm looking at me.
Yeah, without the dye.
Yeah. Possible. Well, that was great, Sarah. That's just great. And I saw her earlier yesterday, sitting at the base of Sigmet.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea what to make out of that other than that's just where I was.
You'll probably, you know, if you'll probably see an Egyptian picture that tells you who that being is.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Oh, wait, I have one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So the vibe has different vibes, but some vibes really feel good and they feel like you're being loved. So does love, obviously love has its own vibration?
Does love have its own vibration? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Asking?
Yeah, like you're resonating with divine love or someone's sending you divine love and you vibrate, then is that the expression of the divine love within you being created by the light?
I would say it's a parallel experience. You know, how we can feel things as sound, as light, as taste, as touch, as fragrance, and that would be the equivalent experience of it. We were enveloped in a very healing state where the waterfalls of light and healing were just bathing everyone in the group very deeply for a long period of time.
Sarah, I felt such peace. And once again, I semi fell asleep going in and out of it. And what showed up was information for the resolution of a situation that I'm dealing with. But it was very peaceful.
Why does that surprise you? That the solution would come out of peace.
It was wonderful.
Oh, good.
And it was just really good.
Wonderful. Wonderful. The silence does speak.
Yes.
Are we feeling, I'll let you, Elena, 1 second. I just want to check in. Are we feeling the same kind of fatigue as yesterday or doing a little better?
Better.
Better.
Better?
Yeah, much better.
Better. Okay, good. Okay, yeah, Elena, go ahead.
I had a really challenging experience with that meditation, and I was just curious to know, hearing you describe it as like a very healing, and you know, all this like energy and light and waterfalls coming in, and my experience of it was so different from that. It was just like incredible resistance the whole time. I kind of had a similar experience to Ananda in terms of like feeling like I was battling my own third eye the whole time. It was very, very, very visual, but like very loud and overwhelming. And,
what were you seeing?
Huh?
What were you seeing?
Everything was happening so fast, I felt like I couldn't keep up with it. Mm. So it was kind of like a seeing myself, I guess, but as this like crystal geometric version or something. And then, and then it kind of went into being in like a huge lake overlooking this lake and this orange sunset, and I kept, I think, looking for like a nurturing space, and just was presented with all of this anger. But yeah, it was just really excruciating, actually. I was like riding on a hawk and then became the hawk and then kept trying to pull away from that. And so, yeah, it just felt like I was fighting myself.
Why did you try to pull away from the hawk?
I think because I felt like I was trying to fill a space or something. Like I felt very in my head the whole time.
And see, I didn't experience you in your head the whole time at all. Okay?
Oh.
You were in an integrated state. And you, I mean, your spirit animals are the birds. So anytime a bird shows up for you, I'd go with it. I think you were not in that bipolar state that you were in earlier today. You were in an integrated state. So,
okay.
Okay. So this is where, let's see. At the beginning of a retreat, here's the process. There's a little more correction that I give to help people shift from, let's say, the heavy world to the light world. And so then once we cross a threshold, which we did, you can start trusting your experiences. So there's a delicacy here, okay, of how to work, how to guide this, because don't want you to get too afraid that you're doing something wrong, and to start trusting yourself as we go into the deeper states and not worry so much about any of the corrections. So at the beginning of the retreat, I needed to do a little more correcting. You can let go of that now. It's a real delicate process, okay? So I was trying to guide and help everyone get from that heavy state to the lighter state. Now we're in that lighter state more, and you can let yourself go and trust your experience, okay? But it's just the nature, you know, that we kind of wonder if we're doing something wrong. And at this point, I'd say go with it rather than not for everyone. But it sounds like you had some really nice experiences in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was probably beautiful. I was just stuck in this weird place with it. I still don't really understand it. I have a lot of residual anger, actually. It's just like buzzing in me still. But maybe that's what I needed to see. I was curious, like, if I were to go back and listen to the recording of this meditation, for example, is that space still accessible in the same way?
I don't know how you'd experience it. First of all, it's an hour of silence on the recording. And
how good are you, Sarah?
And it's, but the energy's on the recording. So that hour of silence is a very potent hour of silence. So I would sit with it and see what happens for you. Okay?
Okay.
Who was going to say something?
This is Kathy. What about the bird? How's your bird? Did the bird make it?
Oh, it did. It flew right off, but man, Ken and I went outside looking to see if there was a feather or something. Yeah. And usually when the birds, like a blue jay or a robin, will like fly into my window. I have lots of stuff on my window to indicate they should not do this. but I get a lot of them. And usually I have like an imprint of like the whole wingspan and, you know, the whole bird on my window. And they're usually fine. I haven't had any die. But this one didn't even leave, it left the barest of an imprint, like just like a swish. And it was huge and it was brown. And it was the loudest I've ever heard a bird bang into my window. So I'm sorry if it disturbed people. It really took me by surprise.
No, I'm happy that it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no trace of it, not even a feather. We looked all over the yard, but Ken said he had been watching the hawks and the baby hawks in the yard earlier. So maybe it was a baby hawk or something, or a falcon, something. It was big and brown. So, but then I just caught it after it was leaving.
Kate.
Okay. Were there two people that just spoke up or just one?
Yeah.
There were two? Or just
there were
one?
Two.
Who's the other person?
Marianne here.
Marianne. Okay, so Kate, go, and then Marianne. Okay.
Well, I'm just really not sure what happened through the meditation. I don't feel like I've ever not been able to drop into meditation. I think I might have been there in the beginning. I remember going to the temple, but later on, so much I went into, I would call a dark place, me personally. And I felt like I disconnected from a retreat. And it's actually the only reason I'm bringing this up right now. You know, I just don't know what happened.
You're just clearing some really big stuff here.
I was like, do I have to leave?
It's like, no. It's just like a big cement encasement coming off here.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. The meditation had its effect. Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Okay.
Okay, and Marianne?
I just wanted to say it's a learning for me because this is so new to me. There was no vision, no vibration, no messages other than the helpful resolution ones. The peace and the quiet and the stillness and the sleep as a consequence was very new to me. And I just needed to accept that without thinking nothing was happening.
Right. And a lot of the other stuff was your mind being actively involved in it. And now you're getting to the deeper state. So we don't look for messages. We don't look for content. Remember I said that I preface this meditation very specifically about not trying to interpret anything or involve any of our thinking, feeling, physical consciousness, because all of that is old stuff. If that gets involved, then everything is filtered through the old. And we have to learn to allow this quiet spaciousness where there is no talking, there's no interpretation. There can be some visionary state, there can be a deep message or understanding that comes through, but it's not from the same filter of the old.
That's very clear. And that was the difference that I couldn't adjust to.
Right. Can everyone feel the old stinking stuff compared to the fresh?
Yes.
It's very stinky. You get more stinking from thinking than you do from drinking.
Right.
The feel is for real.
Yep.
Joe Miller.
Yep. So, yes, you can just feel it now, can't you? The old stinking stuff, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, that's excellent. That's most excellent. Because look at that. You can tell the difference now.
That's been a missing link for me.
Ah. That's wonderful.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is.
Great. So we're still in the process of like getting out of that old soup, but we're doing really good. I'm thrilled with how this is going. I don't know how you guys are feeling, but I'm thrilled. Okay.
Well, good. When the teacher's happy, we're happy.
You don't understand how fast we're doing this.
Mm.
This,
sure we're not dying.
You're not dying. The old part of you is dying. Okay. But this is really moving. We are getting so much help. It's unbelievable.
It's Fran. Mm-hmm. I wanted to comment on something, and that is I didn't have any visionary states. It's not something that would be typical for me. And when you cried out because of the bird, it was interesting. It wasn't disturbing at all. And shortly after that, I realized I was feeling a great deal lighter. Like I could feel much light in my, seemed to dominate my body, my being. So I didn't know, how that happened exactly. Maybe I was just, it occurred to me that kind of jolted me a bit. So I was aware from a somewhat different perspective of what was cooking.
Yeah, maybe that shock wave that went through really broke up some of the old stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, bird. Thank you, birdie.
Yeah, I said thank you, bird.
Was the bird right at the beginning?
It was close to the beginning. It was after there was a noticeable time when we dropped into the deeper state, and it was soon after that.
Well, and it was right around the time you had said there's still a lot of stinking thinking. And then I felt like we dropped, and then the bird hit.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's an hour of silence with one scream in it.
Oh, that's funny. You're pretty appropriate.
I just want to share it. Last night, my cat, I was laying down, and my cat, my eyes were closed, I was relaxing. My cat, out of the blue, just jumped on, like, my belly, my second chakra. And it was literally the same story. It was just like this, ah, like a, But I had such a release. And in that moment, I just like allowed whatever to come out energetically. And then I just went back into myself and went, oh, I guess that's why that happened.
Oh, you know? So you had some cat spirit there. Nice.
Yeah.
Like I said, when every time I look at Suri as if she's a dog, she stares back and she says, don't even try. Like, <that's...
laughs> I love it.
You know,
oh, my God.
Yeah. That's not me.
And I just want to add one more thing. Is when I spoke earlier, I'm sitting here, I was stewing over, I just was sitting here after I spoke, feeling very uncomfortable in my body, and I realized that I was speaking from a place of the old program, from the empathic sensation of hearing other people when I was little, their energy seeing me, oh, it's just a little girl, you know, I'm just so dismissed. And yeah, so I just have been sitting there with that. And I wrote down like 3 months ago, I will no longer accept, Dr. Hawkins said this, will no longer accept invalidation from myself or another. And so I'm just speaking that to clear it. Thank you.
Great, 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 great. I wasn't going to let you do it.
Thank you.
This is, I can, through the meditation, I could and I can still feel a part of me identifying with the old programming. And I can feel a bit of a battle inside to not identify with that. And I think part of this for me is I've become very aware of how I want to feel the way I did a year and a half ago. But I think that that longing is attached to old programming, and that what's happening is I'm in a process of feeling and becoming a way I have not yet been. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I'm very physically uncomfortable right now.
Sorry about that. No. This is, you've not been here before. None of us have. It's a new type of emergence. And did you actually just dissolve a relationship? Because that can be playing into this.
I didn't. It has not happened. And yet I feel like it's happening organically, but nothing has happened in an official way. But I did recently officially finally get divorced a few months ago.
Okay. Okay. So, partnerships complicate things, and that includes marriages too, because a lot of what happens with us when we're on these retreats is, you know, our being is, if you've been in a relationship for a while and you go on a retreat, there's a period of separation where you come back from yourself to yourself from having been merged with another person. And that can have a very physical effect. And also wanting to bring the other person along with you. It's a very unconscious piece. And so that's part of the cleansing that goes on at the beginning of a retreat. You forget who you are when you've been merged with another person, and coming back to yourself can be a little bit of a journey. Whoa, okay. Okay, let's come back to our seated, listening, alignment. So you can notice right now how a lot of you, not everyone, leaned into the conversation. Who is 252? Oh, I missed the number. There's a lot of noise. Did someone just come off mute? There, it just stopped. Okay. Oh, I have to find out where I was. What was I saying?
Leaning in.
Oh, leaning in.
We were leaning in.
Right. Can you feel how you're, you don't know you're leaning in until you pull yourself back. Mm-hmm. So reground. Some of you were holding your grounding and some of you were leaning in. Can you feel? Mm-hmm. Who knows that they were holding their grounding?
It's Fran, I believe I was.
Okay.
Sally, I think I'm definitely deep in my chair.
Okay. Who knows that they were leaning in with their energy?
Pretty sure I was leaning in.
Uh-huh. Who else?
I think I was leaning in too.
Okay.
Me too.
I'm pretty sure I was.
Okay, so pull up. Who was that?
Oh, I was.
Cindy. Oh, well, of course, Cindy, right? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding you. Hey, we haven't heard from you in a while. What's going on with you?
With me, I'm pretty good. I'm more comfortable than I was this morning or yesterday. I'm grateful for that. I appreciated hearing everyone's experience for this last session. I felt like I was in my mind, but I think I was also being shown past memories and releasing different aspects of it.
Okay, good.
It's nice.
Great. Okay, so everyone pull back. Feel the calf muscles, big indicator, your calf muscles. How do they feel?
Wide.
Okay. Anyone have tight calf muscles?
No.
Here I am. Tight calf muscles, yep.
Okay. Could you feel yourself leaning into the conversation?
No.
No.
I felt I was grounding.
Okay.
Did you feel me leaning in?
No, I didn't.
No. I was detached.
Okay. Ken, did you hear the conversation?
Yes, I did.
Were you split? Were you like half in, like part of you in the conversation and part of you, like two of you?
That very well could be. I mean, I was focusing somewhat on grounding. I'm a lot on grounding and taking in the conversation as well. I think I heard all the conversation.
Uh-huh.
Without any problem.
Okay.
Leaning in.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. Okay, Sean, so you're sitting day after day with clients in a little room or whatever and leaning into their being, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you know the effect of that on you?
I mean, yeah, I'm feeling it. Yeah, I'm learning the effects of it. Yes.
Okay, good. Because you can pull back 100% of the time. There's no need for any therapist to lean into their clients with their energy. Just saying, okay?
Amen.
Oh, absolutely. I think when I was new in private practice, I leaned in to help track. I was like tracking, because I do somatic work, and so I was tracking the nervous system and to get information, make sure we got, you know, some renegotiation. And I think you're right. Now that it's, you know, it's been over a year and a half that I've been in private practice, I'm learning I don't have to, that the renegotiation's happening in their system, and it will. I don't have to track so closely.
Great. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's feel our seat and feet and fill up a little with some good, healthy vibes. If there's anything else that anyone wants to bring up, you can.
Sarah, this is Cindy.
Okay, Marianne was the first one, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Marianne, and then Cindy. Okay.
I just sat back on a recliner, and I know we discussed this. Can I still ground through my tailbone, or should I sit up and really put my feet on the floor?
You should have your feet on the floor. We'll be done in 5 minutes, and then you can lean back.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Cindy?
I wanted to speak more about the leaning in, being mm-hmm. it's been such an interesting topic of discovery for me lately. So I know, Sean, I'm an occupational therapist. I don't think you know that. I know that the leaning in was modeled for me at the beginning of my career and was actually expected. I mean, unspoken, but it was expected from the people around me. And for years, that's how I practiced. And I'm trying to now to change that within myself. But Sarah, I find that my first thing to revert to is to sort of try to hold. There's like a rigidity I want to hold, make sure that axis is up. And that's mm-hmm. not a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So then beyond that is being aware of it and relaxing into it.
Right. So at the beginning, go ahead.
Oh, there's this piece that I can't help but feel like is that enough? Is that enough for my clients? Is that enough? And I in my head, I can say, well, of course it is, because you're holding space. It actually gives them more space to take up with their own energy. But there's this fear that I know I'm feeling that it's not enough. And I know as a clinician, when I first started out, it was a small private practice. And whatever I offered was never enough.
This is great that you're coming to this, okay?
One step further then I feel like, well, if me being in my own act is not enough for me. Because
just being who I am in my own space. It should be enough, but I'm not sure it feels like it is.
Well expressed.
It's a scary place to be.
Mm-hmm. It is, at first.
Does it feel, Sarah, does it feel less intimate when you back up 100%, like you were saying, like at first, does it?
Yeah, at first it's a little scary because we've been trained, especially empaths are trained to do this.
Right, right.
So let me ask you this, Sean, when you sat with Becky, when you sat with Becky the other night, how did, were you two each in your own axis and you created a bigger field?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, did that feel like a different kind of intimacy than when you lean into someone?
Yeah, it felt more, there was more opening, like internal opening was how I experienced it. It was really, really great, actually, yeah.
Okay, so that's what this will turn into. So imagine this, and Cindy, you can relate to this. Imagine, and probably Sean too, probably everyone can. Imagine the like a hovering mother that's always over you. How does that feel?
I know that feeling. I become my mother. Hey, I want a different retreat. Is there a different retreat?
Okay, and then okay, so Cindy, you can relate to that, right?
Yes, but it, so I don't consider myself a hovering,
no your mother to you.
Yes, oh absolutely. And but then there's the piece that that's how she showed love,
right?
So again, if I'm not doing that for my kids, and I know I subtly am, even though I don't consider myself a helicopter mom, well, then what? Like, it's the immediate feeling I feel is this void. But, well, what do you feel that way?
Right. And so this is really crucial, this conversation. When you go through the transition of having been, let's just say, over entangled or over involved with your energy with another being, and that's what you equate as love, what it really is a second chakra attachment. And so it actually feels more suffocating, controlling. It's not love. Because Cindy, think of all the things you wanted to rebel against your mother, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. Controlling and suffocating and all that kind of stuff, okay? So the first thing we have to establish is that's not really love, okay? That's just not love. That's a low frequency something or another, okay? But it's not love, even though we've been trained to believe that is love. And when you pull back and you start getting comfortable and brave to be in your own axis and be seated in your own being, you start to sit in the space of love and compassion along with power and strength. And you radiate the frequency of love, which is conveyed and mirrored by your children as strength and love, and by your clients as strength and love. So that, let's say you're vibrating the frequency of strength and love instead of vibrating the frequency of control and manipulation.
Okay.
Did that make any sense, Cindy?
Mm-hmm.
It does
very much. And the first thing I feel is I feel this mourning for my own childhood and my own past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I agree. The limitations of biological parents, there are limitations all over the place. You know, we all have them. We all experience them. And you've heard me say that I shifted to my Mother Earth as my mother.
Right.
And took my biological mother off the hook. I aligned so deeply with Mother Earth, Ananda, in the way that you experienced it today, that
being cradled.
Yes. And that totally allowed me to get what I needed and what I continue to need all the time, and lets my mother off the hook and lets me off the hook for doing what my mother did to me, to my kids, and to my husband. So this is a process, and it is a letting go of control. But in that process, you become the vibratory experience of strength and compassion to your children that they take in so much easier than the invasive control program that's going on. And the same thing happens with your clients. So when you have a session with me or you're in a class with me, you're experiencing that. Right? You come up, you feel and experience the vibration that I'm radiating, and you feel stronger. So the same thing will, that'll happen with you and your children, and you and your clients, and you and your friends, and you and your husband, and you and your parents.
We were taught caring means leaning in.
Right. Worrying, controlling, all of that, manipulating, shaming him into conforming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you're just standing there vibrating to them. I mean, different words come out of your mouth. different. Words come out of your mouth that match that mm-hmm. frequency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that. I have started working with this, and it takes me off the hook, too, then, as a therapist. The sessions are guided, and it feels mm-hmm. like the words just flow. I mean, I don't have to be smart or, you know, the portal's open, and we're guided in this healing in sessions. It is effortless almost when that happens.
Yes. So Cindy, the drain of energy, the cost of doing that, of over involvement is way too high after a certain point. I mean, I find when you're younger you might be able to sustain that longer, but after a certain point it just is too draining.
I can see that, and I have dealt with the consequences of that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right. So know that you're going through a transition, and that every time you come back to yourself, it feels like high risk for a little while here, and then you're going to get it, and you'll get it in a big, beautiful way, because I know you. I raised you. How old were you when we first met? I mean, you were, it's been 20 some years, 22. Right? 22.
Yeah.
And how old are you now?
I'm 47.
47. So we've been together 25 years. I raised you too. Mm-hmm. So.
And I'm grateful.
So you know this. It's in your consciousness. It's in your being. And you'll go through this little bit of a transition point. And then the amount of love, which you've had that connection with Mother Earth. You just need to be reminded to turn there for it and let yourself be filled and held. And keep reminding yourself of that. And then you'll really, really get it beautifully. I know you will.
Well, I appreciate you holding that for myself and for everyone in the group. And I appreciate the group.
Thank you.
Will some of this cleansing, I know that when I'm centered and balanced that I can stay in my axis and deal with patients. But as soon as things get busy, which they do when I step in the door of work, it's like these, you know, I don't have the clarity and the awareness, and I know I'm operating from old, habitual, unconscious, that I'm not aware of, patterns.
Right.
And I don't know how to, I mean, it certainly has affected my health dramatically. I don't know how to, in a busy, frenzied environment, keep some sense of, of centeredness and awareness so that I don't slip into these old habits.
Okay. Let's see. Fran, you're in a pretty intense environment, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Fran's a lawyer in a high-powered legal firm, I would say, right?
Yeah, yes, I am.
And you've spent years practicing this.
Yes, and it's only been successful. You know, I retired once and I came back into the practice 8.5 years ago, and it has been completely different. And it's how different it is and how I feel at the during a day and at the end of the day is directly correlated with how much I remember to feel my feet, be grounded, take a pause, not follow everybody else in a meeting and cross my legs, notice when I'm feeling less than or not confident. I don't mean aggressively confident, I'm not, but just clear. And to, at some point, either right then or very soon, take a pause and of course do the maintenance, you know, the grounding every day to clear. And that's really all I know how to do. I almost killed myself practicing law the first time, literally as an empath. And, you know, I looked good, you know, I had the heels and the whole bit and I, you know, blah, blah, blah. But inside I was a wreck. It was truly a horrific experience. And coming back this time was actually a joyous experience. I was very aligned and having a high old time.
So you worked with concentration. You have very good concentration. And so you kept reminding yourself.
Yes, and it, you know about misery.
Yeah.
So I would be reminded. Yeah.
It literally takes, I would say, grounding, you know, 500 times a day for 1 second every day to get it set in. Who would be the scariest person to ground around, Ananda? In your life that's around you, who's the scariest person? You don't have to name them, but I just want you to think of the scariest person there would be to ground around. Okay, got someone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so is that person in your work environment?
Yes.
Okay. That's who you tackle. That's who, when you're around that person, that's when you make the point to ground inside. Okay? You just remember, if you can feel your feet, you're doing really good. Okay? That's all you need to do. is feel your feet at the scariest moment. And that will really shift your ability to stay more grounded in that craziness. Because you are in an environment that is extremely, it's got multiple astral dimensions. You're dealing with people's psychological, physical issues. It's wild and crazy. And it would be a challenge, okay? But I'm saying that if you challenge yourself with the scariest person around, that you'll get it pretty quick. My dad was my scariest person. And when I knew I could ground around him, I could ground around anyone.
You know what, Sarah, this is Cindy. I remember Char saying, I don't know what your atmosphere is like, Ananda. Is it like you pick up a chart and walk into a room and see a patient? Are you seeing them on a clinical type scale?
Yeah, I work in a very busy family practice. So there's 3 or 4 patients an hour. There's telephone calls,
yeah.
Emergencies. There's staff wanting stuff from me. It's nonstop.
What, Char said one thing one time. I'm just going to throw this out here. I don't know if it'll be helpful for you or not. But what she told us she did one time was that she picks up the chart and she holds it before she walks in the room. And that's when she goes in and feels her feet before she walks in the room. That came to me. I'm sharing it. I don't know if it's helpful, but you know, it's like a little routine you can set up for yourself. But if you got all that craziness going in the background, I know what that's like. And
yeah, does that sound doable?
One little thing.
Oh, does that sound doable, Ananda? As a strategy? As a strategy?
There's no such thing as paper charts anymore. Now it's the computer.
Oh, so you have to hug the computer.
That's right.
Not my favorite thing to hug. I want to throw it out the window.
That's right. They do everything by computer now. Yeah. Char's a midwife, so, you know, her practice could be pretty crazy too. But, yeah, you could go hug that computer.
That would be a huge step forward if I could truly hug my computer.
Well, but what about a strategy of stopping every time you reach for a doorknob? Or, you know, I mean, something like that really can make a difference. When I was learning how to meditate on light, and some of you have heard this, and this was in my 20s, I decided that every time I saw a light bulb, I would connect with my inner light. And it was a strategy that worked because I found out there's light bulbs everywhere. They just can't get away from light bulbs. So, but a little strategy like that can really make an inroad into your consciousness. And so maybe you can think of one when you go through your day that would make sense for you.
I'll have to get someone who can figure out a way to program in a little chime or something on my computer. So when I hear a chime, it's like, okay, wake up.
Ah.
Yeah, okay. When you sign in, there should be a little chime. As soon as Ananda, you know, swipes her badge in front of the computer, you hear ding.
You can do it with Alexa.
You can do it with an Apple Watch, you know. But something like that, find a strategy that is kind of seamless with what you're doing and see if that can make a difference.
It's Fran,
I like the chime idea. Thank you. That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. And Fran?
Yeah, thank you, Cindy, for mentioning what Char does, because I do the same thing. You know, I go into meetings and I often don't know what will occur, you know, what to expect, what the people will be like, whatever. And I always take a pause, even if I already have whatever it is in my hand and I'm on my way, I take a pause and just, you know, connect with Mother Earth and ask for support. And I know I've been a patient with Char's, and I have never had her seen her witnessed her come into the room without really feeling she was present and grounded. And I know she was flying, you know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Can I interject something? This is Trish. Mm-hmm. Fran, do you remember once upon a time when you wore a watch and every time the watch went off, you had to ground wherever you were?
Yeah, oh, thank you, Trish. Yeah, it was set for every 15 minutes, I think. Yeah, I do remember that. Thank you. Yes.
There's an idea.
Andrea, wasn't that your job on the retreat? You did something like that.
That's right. Bringing you back.
Right. That's right. Andrea was helping us remember to ground. So the chimes is a good idea. Some little ding that would just
wear a necklace with a bell. Take a bell.
Or an electric shock, you know.
Oh, yeah, there you go. A prod. Cattle prod.
Have someone squirt you with a water pistol or something.
Well, you know, Ken has been wanting, are you there, Ken? Ken? You know, there's some device that we see on the internet all the time where it sticks to your back and it buzzes and makes you stand up, sit up, right? And Ken wants to put it on the feet to buzz your feet.
Oh, God. I don't know how well that would work. I mean, I think that might send shockwaves through your nervous system.
Yes, yeah. Ken, we can hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sarah, I have a quick question if I can.
Sure.
Come in for a minute. I've been working on my memoir. I haven't really worked on it for 2 years, but I wanted to get back to it, and I was feeling pretty good because I was ready to sign up for a creative writing, 21-day creative writing workshop. Mm. Now I'm wondering, if I do that, am I getting into the old paradigm? Am I digging up stuff that I'm better off letting go? Or?
Oh, with your memoir?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're inspired to do it. It's not necessarily digging up. It could be organizing your whole history for you.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the little bit that I've done.
Uh-huh.
But I just wonder where it fit into what we're dealing with and letting go.
Right. I do think that there's a value in when you're in a new space to click everything backwards so that it fits into a new framework and a new understanding.
Yeah, getting perspective.
Right, right. That would be a good word for that. Yes.
Yeah. Making your peace.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a valuable exercise if you're inclined that way.
Yeah, thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, anything else? It's
I just want to tell you guys, I switched my space. I came into the yoga room and immediately feeling better after, you know, talking with all of you. And a vulture and an osprey were just circling right overhead, nice and slow. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like that was a beautiful sign for all of us.
Thank you. Nice. Okay. Are you feeling better up in your yoga space?
Yes. Watching all the small birds eating. And yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's see. It's 6:15. Should we meet at 7:45? Give ourselves some, you know, the full time. I think you need that. It's 7:45 Eastern time. 4:45 for the West Coasters. How does that sound?
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so I am going to hang up here, go over to my computer, send out the next call information. And you have Lisa's phone number if there's an issue. And Trish is going to help make sure Kate has it just in case. And Becky helps Sally just in case. So we have this all set up. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, do a good job of keeping your energy well filled. Your energy well filled. Your well of energy filled. Okay. We'll Got see it. You later.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.